Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Yes, hi again. It's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. I'm an author who writes sexless marriage stories. Today, I'd like to talk to you about rejection. In your sexless marriage, you've probably been rejected more times than you can count. Hearing the word no, or seeing the actions to represent no, is a common thing for you. You know it well. You're used to it. You're not happy about it, but you recognize what I'm saying right away. You're not the only one. Thousands of people like you experience sexual rejection in their marriages every day and just don't know what to do about it. Your partner is withholding an important part of your marriage from you, and you feel like you're stuck with their decision to go without sex every single time. Rejection is a terrible thing to feel. It's one thing for strangers to reject you, but it's a real blow to your self-esteem if a spouse does the same. Your marriage is supposed to be a safe place. You're supposed to nurture each other there. Rejection is a hurtful thing to do. I'm probably pretty much like you. Rejection is something I don't deal with very well. And when it comes to rejection on matters of intimacy, I absolutely suck at it. I don't know where to go or what to say after rejection occurs. It makes me feel annoyed and disappointed, but most of all, it makes me never want to ask for sex again. By not asking, rejection doesn't get its opportunity to rear its ugly head. My advice to you to stop asking for sex to save yourself from feeling rejected would be a poor one. It'd be far more practical for me to advise you on how to take up a new hobby or get therapy on ways to deal with rejection, for I have no clue on how to 1. Ask for sex in a way that guarantees a yes, or 2. How to turn a no into a yes, or 3. Deal with the rejection should the answer become a no. After 4 years of marriage counselling, I never found a suitable hobby or technique that replaced sex or diminished the effects of sexual rejection. I was stuck in the same place I was in before I started therapy. My wife did say one thing one time that made me stop and think for a bit. Her statement may apply to you. It might be information you'll find helpful in your quest to improve your marriage. She said that not all of her actions that I interpreted as a no was a no. Apparently, I misunderstood some of her body language and came up with a conclusion that was totally wrong. So let's talk about that for a minute, because it's entirely possible that the signals you're receiving from your spouse are being screwed up along the way. They actually mean to say yes when it looks like a no. How does your spouse gesture a no when a verbal no isn't forthcoming? Because it's the non-verbals we're talking about at the moment. Verbals are obvious, right? The simplest and clearest non-verbal no for me was a gentle smile and then a shaking of the head from side to side. When that needed upgrading a year or two later, her eyes would close first and then the head would move. Another upgrade later didn't require the effort of a smile at all, but exchanged for a rolling of the eyes and then turning back to a book she was reading. The most refined version I saw towards the end of the marriage was the easiest for her to produce. A momentary glance at her watch, a look of disdain towards me, and then shifting her eyes back to her book did the trick. She figured out how to achieve the best conservation of energy on a subject she wanted little to do with in the first place. Your partner might not do it that way. They could fold their arms or walk away. They might include both of those actions. Picking up their phone, turning on a TV or a radio often ends a discussion quickly too. Rolling eyes, looking away, walking off, changing the subject and just plain ignoring the topic are all popular ways to perform a rejection action. Tell me how your partner shows their form of rejection. I want to hear how many ways people can avoid saying yes. Tell me if you could be misinterpreting what you're seeing in your partner's body language. The way I knew I wasn't misinterpreting a thing was history. At no time did my wife readjust a misinterpreted glance, look of disdain, or a shake of her head. Once she revealed in the counsellor's room the likelihood of bad communication being the culprit, she wasn't ready to alter her behaviour or amend misunderstandings if and when they cropped up. At no time did my wife initiate sex when our marriage was identified as being sexless. She was happy to forego intimacy and any reason sufficed. There were no misunderstandings on my part. I think I got it perfectly right. She didn't need or want sex. That was that. My issue wasn't with misinterpreting looks, but what I did with those incessant no's. And I could place some of that blame on the way I was brought up. When I was a young boy, about 7 or so, my mother said one important thing to me. No means no. In the years that followed, she repeated it many times over, for she believed men had the power to control themselves when it came to women and what happens behind closed doors. I think she had a bad experience when she was young. No means no, she said over and over again. It means what it sounds like. No sex means no sex. It's a no, and it's always a no. I was brought up hearing no lots of times, but never understanding that a yes can be hidden in many places and that yes isn't always spoken aloud. She never said anything to me about yes. She never said anything to me about maybe or silence. It was always no. My mother's fears became mine. I went looking for no's when they didn't need to be there. I somehow became attracted to no and found a mate with so many no's I couldn't resist her. That was my problem, not interpreting what clearly was my wife's desire to remain celibate. It makes sense to anyone listening to this podcast that my marriage wasn't going to work. But nobody enters a marriage thinking it won't, just as nobody expects the marriage to become sexless for any reason. What happens between I do and till death do us part is anyone's guess. Everyone has their own tale, and if the intimacy dries up between points A and B, it can have the very same effect. The one who wants sex but can't get it is left hanging out to dry. It's not surprising secret affairs enter into the mix, just to make life a little bit more bearable. There is one way you could deal with the constant rejection of sex in your marriage. Divorce. divorce your spouse and start over again. It's rejection from your side, to reject the way your life has become, to reject the marriage's many faults. It'll be a sad and difficult time for a while, but at least you won't have to deal with seeing or hearing your former spouse's many ways of saying no to you. Think about it. Your sexual prospects won't decrease. Without rejection slapping you in the face every day, you'll have a chance to improve your self-respect. In time, you'll get back on your feet and do better for it. That could be the ultimate way of dealing with rejection. Deal out some rejection of your own. It's been building, and it's not a crime to reject your partner. I did that, and some things improved almost immediately. The one thing I remember was dreaming. I hadn't dreamed for such a long time, and I never knew. Too many nights of torment and disturbed sleep kept my mind from resting in the ways that it needed to. The junk in my head was backed up like a blocked toilet. Dreaming released the pressure. It took time, but I would eventually get to seeing and thinking straight again. There was a lot of other junk to clear to get to the other side of it, but that's another discussion for another day. I got clear of the marriage and began writing a book about the experience. You're welcome to read a free copy of it right now. It's called Seethings, and it's available on smashwords.com. Just go to smashwords.com and type in the word Seethings, S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G-S, or use my name, Michael Foreman. Every digital format is covered. You can start reading the book within seconds. It's a novel. That means I've covered real identities with fake ones. To protect the guilty, some events have been bent and twisted so the light doesn't show through them so much. You'll figure it out as you go along. You may even see a little of yourself inside the story. If you'd like to comment on this podcast episode or any other, please drop me a line at michaelformanwriting.com. That's michaelformanwriting.com. Well, that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I try to be as honest as possible, but I'm not sure whether I achieve that in all of the podcasts. Nevertheless, I hope that you have felt safe in listening to the material anyway. This is Michael Foreman signing off. Wherever you are in this world, I hope you're having a really good day or night. Just remember, it can always rain on your parade. I'll see you later.